Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast, the number one podcast to learn about the hottest men's fashion and grooming brand. We interview the brand owners so you get the inside story. We'll also discuss fashion, business, and entrepreneurship, and all things gentlemen. Whether you're looking to advance your career, increase your style, or just discover the best new products, you're in the right place. And now, here's your host, award-winning author, entrepreneur, and business owner, Richard Taylor. Hey, Rich, let's start the show.
Welcome back to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm your host, Richard Taylor. So glad you could join us and tune in today. We have an amazing show prepared for you. Dennis drops by with the style tip of the week. And this week, we are talking about how you can get more respect. If you want to get more respect and better service when you go out, tune in to this edition of the style tip. Also, speaking of style, we'll be talking to an inventor and business owner that has found a way to correct the droopy shirt collar. If you're tired of your shirt collar dropping behind your sports jacket or your blazer, you can say goodbye to that because this guy has totally found the solution for that. David from Perky Collar will be on the show as well. Last and certainly not least, we have some motivation for you with somebody that has a big name and an even bigger story. Marcus Aurelius Anderson, yes, he's really Marcus Aurelius, will be joining us. And he is talking about his experience from being paralyzed and transitioning into a motivational speaker. He has given TED Talks. He is an amazing guy with an even more breathtaking story that really will blow you away. Stay tuned for this edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. You are going to love it. Let's get it started.
Hey guys, let's dive into a brief style discussion, tips, suggestions, and fashion ideas from a guy who knows style. He inspires us on social media, personal stylist, and retail expert, Dennis Styles. It's the style tip of the week. Hey Dennis, bring the heat.
Welcome everyone. We have Dennis here. It's another week of style tip of the week. So today we're going to be, it's going to be an interesting subject. We're going to talk about how to gain respect by dressing nice.
Well, I like that subject, Dennis. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's very important. The good thing about this is it starts early. As far as, let's say that you don't have to start in your 30s or 40s. This is something that really starts early. I emphasize all of my clients that I have that the way you dress is how people are going to treat you. How you feel about that, Rich?
I agree with you 100%. You know, when you step out of the house, you got to represent for yourself and your family. And people judge us as soon as they see us. So when they see us, what are they going to think?
Exactly. And, you know, let's look at it this way, man. You have a job, right? You get out of college and you start working. And a lot of the times, you don't know who you are. You don't know how do you want to come across. You don't know how to dress. So dressing speaks for you. You don't necessarily have to say anything. The way you look, the way you carry yourself is the first thing that, you know, people that are going to, you know, give you a shot at an interview, job, or even a home loan or car loan. Wherever you go, whether you want to buy a car, you want to buy a home, you go to the movies, you go to work, how you carry yourself and how you look as far as wardrobe. I mean, crisp shirts, nice suits, even on your casual days. Don't look at casual days as, you know, sweats and t-shirt. Also wear a nice, you know, jeans, whatever you may be, a track jacket or even a sports blazer.
Yeah, I like all those suggestions. And one thing you see a lot is the sweatpants and hoodies or jerseys, things like that. And, you know, when you see that, I think of a real young guy. You know, that's something my son would want to wear. You know, he's in elementary school and he's out in the backyard tossing a football around, pretending he's in the NFL. But as a grown man, we want to step it up. So what do you think are some key essentials to step it up?
So Father, the first thing you have to do is you have to get a pair of dressy jeans and a nice suit. Whatever comes after that, I think that's a perfect start. Simplify things at the beginning, grow with what you have, and you feel, trust me, it'll be a lot more advanced, you know, weeks and after that. Because one thing I notice is, sometimes I see people that dress the way they dress to go to a basketball game or football game outside. So think about it. Let's say you're a father, right? You want to set example for your little man, you know, and he's going to see that, and he's going to see how you carry yourself the same way that he wants to carry himself in the future.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, talk a little bit more about going out, you know, maybe for dinner and the level of respect you can get by dressing up. You know, I've been out with you a few times, and actually we got some VIP service simply because we were kind of dressed up pretty well.
Yeah, it's a perfect example. Let's look at Vegas. Let's look at all the times we had a chance to meet up, whether it be in D.C., Vegas, New York. Everywhere we went, we drew attention and respect. Restaurants, you know, offering us the way they offer service is a lot different if I just walk in with a T-shirt and sweats.
100% correct. I think my favorite time was in D.C. We both showed up. We had hats on, dressed well, and they wanted to know who you were. I remember you were in the corner talking to the manager. Next thing I know, we got a big discount on the meal just because of how we presented ourselves.
Yeah, that happens a lot with us. We go somewhere, we walk in, we have dinner, and either the manager will say, you know what? You guys look great, man. Come back again. Here's a voucher. Here's a couple of drinks. You know, it's on the house. You know, they see us taking pictures, so they're interested in it. Oh, my God, these guys are on point with their dress code. So that's actually some of the small things that happen when we go out as far as drawing that right attention and being fashionable.
Yeah, it's a lot of good points being made here. Hopefully, people are taking notes. And, hey, Dennis, let them know, too, one last tip, and then let us know how we can check you out on Instagram.
Yeah, so as far as wardrobe, let me break that down a little bit more. Start with a nice pair of brogue shoes, brown, tan, oatmeal, a nice fitted jean. You don't understand what that does to a wardrobe, man. It's just, you can wear that nice, with a sweatshirt or a button down on a summer day. That jean right there with those nice fresh pair of shoes, that's it. That's all you need. So you don't necessarily have to go, I don't mean, you know, dress up as far as wear a suit everywhere you go. No. Keep yourself clean, nice fresh haircut. Starts from the bottom to the top. So if you take care of that, trust me, you're going to get the right attention and you're going to be treated with respect wherever you go.
Yeah, I like that. Doors are definitely going to open for you. And speaking of that, Dennis, also, don't forget, let us know how we can check out your style on Instagram, because you set a great example for us. So let us know.
All right, thanks a lot. Check out some of my style tips on my page at Dennis_styles. Love it, guys. Top to bottom, that's how it starts. Start small and start adding on as the weeks go by.
All right. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Now it's time for the Entrepreneur Spotlight. Real professionals, real business owners, and entrepreneurs drop in and drop jewels on us. Looking to learn from others that have done it? Ready to get your business really rolling? Sit back and buckle up. Our experts are ready to inspire. Let's go.
Guys, welcome back to my favorite part of the show. And today we have an amazing guest that has such an inspiring story that you are really going to enjoy. Our guest today is Marcus Aurelius Anderson, and this gentleman has overcome some tragedies, but he's really turned it into a success story. I'll let him tell you exactly what happened, but let's welcome to the show, Marcus. How are you today, sir?
I'm great, Richard. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I am doing great and glad we could connect and have you on the show because, as I mentioned and alluded to, you have an inspiring story that I think everybody will be able to relate to and be inspired by. So let us know kind of the gist of what happened just to get the conversation started.
Absolutely, Richard. In 2012, while preparing to deploy with the U.S. Army, I suffered a severe spinal injury that left me paralyzed from the neck down. I died twice on the operating table, and while they were able to save my life, I was told that I would never walk again. So I was in a bed for many, many months trying to figure out what in the world I was supposed to do with my life now. I was 40 years old, I was broke, I was divorced, and this thing that I devoted my life to in the military, now it was taken all away from me. So I was in a position where I had to ask myself some really brutally honest questions to figure out what I was going to do next and what I could salvage from my life. And lying there in that bed for 3 months like that really made me understand that stuff that I was doing for other people was not necessarily in my best interest, because I was trying to make other people proud, or people are telling you to go to school for this, or people are telling you to do other things. But I realized that I wasn't focused on my own vision and what was my purpose at the time. And I went to a really dark place. I was actually depressed. I was actually suicidal. I would have committed suicide if I was actually able to move, but I couldn't do anything about that because I was paralyzed. So I knew there had to be a lesson there, and there had to be something for me to learn, but I couldn't figure out what it was. The only reason why the universe slaps you in the face like that is to get your attention, and it's to make you stop and look around. Eventually, what I realized was I was focused too much on myself, even in my injury. And the only thing that I could think of that was positive from what could be something that I could be grateful for was the fact that nobody else got injured whenever I got hurt. So, for example, if we had been deployed overseas and I got injured while we were actually over there, I could have gotten my teammates killed. I could have gotten a Chinook shot down. I could have gotten medical people killed. So actually, that was the gift. The gift was that nobody else was hurt other than me. And after that happened, after I was able to find that one thing to be grateful for, I was able to start seeing my adversity as a gift instead of a curse. And a week after I went from that mindset of being a victim into being grateful, I was able to start moving my fingers on my left hand. And that's when I started my slow but steady recovery and started to overcome the adversity that I was facing.
Man, that's an amazing story. You were in a sobering position, to say the least. And when you first felt your fingers moving, did that give you the spark of hope that you needed to keep going? And how long did the recovery actually take?
It gave me that spark of hope, but it's interesting. I was in this me phase before I kind of shifted my mindset. And after I was able to start moving my fingers on my left hand, my right hand started moving a little bit too. And I went right back to that self-centered mentality where I kept thinking, I can't wait till I get out of here. I can't wait to start living my life. And I kind of forgot about that little lesson of gratitude that I had. And a week after that, I started regressing back to where I was before. So quickly and desperately, I was angry again. I was mad again. But I remembered, hey, the thing that got me to actually move my fingers in the first place, at least in my mind, was the fact that I was able to be grateful for where I was at. So from there on out, I was just grateful for everything. And gratitude is interesting because everybody wants to be grateful for the stuff that they enjoy. They want to be grateful for their family and their job and their car. But they have a hard time being grateful for the stuff that doesn't seem as appealing. They're not grateful for the person that cuts them off in traffic. They're not grateful for the person who's aggravated at them at the supermarket. And the thing is, if I just look at the things that I like and I cherry pick what I'm grateful for, it makes it difficult for me to be bulletproof. And what I need bulletproof is this. If I can be grateful for everything from bad weather to what happened to me, to the people that I love and to the interview that you and I are having right now, if I can be grateful for everything from a 360-degree idea, nothing can stop me. nothing that happens to me in my life can be negative. Everything that I get from that, I say, well, there must be something for me to learn in this. And a lot of times, even when we find ourselves in a bad situation, the lesson for that situation is to never get in that situation again. So if we look at things as ability to be as a lesson, or everything that we run into as a teacher, we will be able to break that victim mentality, and you can start taking charge of your life.
Yeah, that's amazing. The attitude shift that you underwent, the way you changed your thinking. And, you know, we always talk about mindset on this show, and that's something that can just really change your whole world. And that seems to be the case with you. Now, once you were literally back on your feet, what was your next move? Because I know now you've done some pretty amazing things with your book, and just wondering what that transition was like for you.
It was interesting because when I first got out, you know, I was able to recover and I was able to walk, but I still had a hard time doing some. I still have numbness in my hands and my feet. I still have nerve damage. But compared to being dead or being paralyzed, you know, I'll take it. So I'm happy about that. But I've done martial arts my entire life since I was 11. And the martial arts helped me from everything from, like, you know, swinging a stick to using a knife to kicking and punching and doing stuff on, you know, grappling, whatever. That's what really kind of helped me recover even more to get back to that point. And I had so many people that kept telling me, you know, they found out my story and they were like, man, that story's amazing. You need to write that down, or you need to write a book, or you need to speak about that. And I kind of had this, you know, stoicism is great, but I kind of had this like, ah, shucks, it's no big deal. But then as I would tell more and more people, and I would get people that were more and more impacted by it, I thought, man, you know, I could probably start helping some people with this. And that's how I got my first coaching client, as a matter of fact. He was actually a martial arts student of mine, but he was a CEO. He owned a huge business. And I would take him to lunch and get him like these kind of martial art life lessons. And he's like, I used to have an executive coach that I paid a bunch of money for, and he wasn't even as good as you are. And he's the first person that got me my first speaking engagement. He was like, listen, there are people at this area that I want to get you a speaking engagement for. And so I just worked on like a 20-minute speech. And I got it down pat. We went out there and they gave me a little bit of money, and everybody stood up after I had clapped after I got done speaking. So that was kind of my first introduction to it. Speaking is something that's very important, and the narrative is what really shapes people's emotions, and it really impacts people. So when I have a story the way I do, it really paints a great picture, and then it has a lot of metaphor in there. So it's a great way to really tell a story and to give people these lessons that we often forget.
Yeah, you know, people always resonate with a good story, and something like this is very inspiring. So you had the opportunity to take a connection that you had with somebody in your life and kind of parlay that into a speaking engagement. But from there, you didn't stop. You went on to speak at a TEDx event. And I'm curious, how does that happen? I mean, that's a big jump.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I did some smaller speaking engagements. So, you know, it is a big jump, though, to go from, you know, getting paid $1,000 to speak somewhere and then getting put on a TEDx stage. My book, I was halfway through my book at the time, as a matter of fact, and I had applied to two different TEDx's in Texas. And they got back to me and they said, listen, your story is amazing, but it just doesn't fit the theme of our TEDx, because one of them was like on Bitcoin, blockchain, and one was on IT. So my story didn't really fit. But my editor of my book, her name's Lacey French, she like applied me for two other ones I didn't know about. And then all of a sudden I get an email from the one in Columbia, Missouri, and they were like, hey, you know, we want to talk to you about it. And they liked what I had to say, and they booked me as the very first speaker for their event. It was called Citizen TEDx Columbia, Missouri. And, you know, I was very happy and grateful for that opportunity. And now I had to hurry up and finish my book, in addition to create a powerful TEDx talk and get it perfected, and then make sure that I can stand up in front of, you know, the world and present it well. So 2017 has been a whirlwind, but I wouldn't change it for a thing, because if it wasn't for that, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Yeah, that's an amazing wild ride you've really been on. And now it seems like you have a pretty fruitful speaking career, also working with clients. And there's a lot of people that listen to the show and they might be hearing this. They want to get into speaking. And you and I were talking before about how there's a lot of motivational speakers out there that kind of just give you a rah-rah message, never quite tell you how you can actually get involved. So how does one go about really getting a speaking career off the ground, and how difficult is it to connect with TEDx?
The big thing is it comes down to figuring out your voice and figuring out what your message is. A lot of people go out there and they want to do what they think the audience wants to hear, or what they think most people will hear, or what they think will make their voice go viral. But what happens is if you try to do that, it comes off shallow and it falls flat. And when you stand up there under the lights and people see you, they can see that it's insincere and that it's inauthentic. What resonates with people is being truthful, being honest, and telling your story. Whatever your story may be, you may not think your story is impressive, but I guarantee that there's something in your story or something in your message that will help inspire somebody else or help give somebody an idea that, you know what, maybe I can do that. The TEDx process, a lot of people that do the TEDx are not professional speakers. So I had to, you know, I was a professional speaker, but I hadn't been on the world stage or anything at that point yet. So anybody literally can apply for a TEDx. You can go to TED.com and you can find out where you're at. So let's say you're in the state of Michigan, for example. You can just go to TED.com. You can look at TEDx events. You can go to Michigan and you can put in the year, like 2018. And what it will do is it will tell you all the TEDx events in Michigan or wherever state you are for that year. And you can start looking to see whether there's one that's close to you, whether there's one that's local, one that's within driving distance, or whatever it is. They'll start doing a call for speakers usually about 3 to 4 months prior to that. And then you start looking to see when you can start applying, and you just put the application in. The process is relatively simple, but what stops people from getting in is the fact that they don't have an idea worth spreading, or they do it for the wrong reasons. Some people want to do it because they're trying to sell their book, they're trying to sell a product, or they're trying to sell from the stage. I didn't read a word of my book the whole time I was on the TEDx stage because I'm trying to provide something to the audience. I'm not trying to sell the audience something. So get clear with what is an important message for you, or a message that really resonates for you that you feel is going to help other people. Get it knocked down to a few sentences. Get on TED at TED.com and see if you're ready to get on the red dot.
Man, that's awesome. Appreciate that. That process is a mystery for some people, and you explained it, you know, just beautifully, so everyone can understand. Speaking of message, I'd like to know your message that you like to give. What would you like to present to this audience that's listening to you right now to kind of inspire them and give them something, just a maybe one nugget, a takeaway from this conversation?
The one thing that I would say is, even after everything that I've been through, there are still days, and I'm living my passion, guys. Listen, you know, I'm doing what I love. And there are still days that it's a grind. There are still days that you have to work. There are still days that you don't get a lot of sleep. But that's why you have to have a passion. If I'm doing this for somebody else and a paycheck, I'm not going to have the same sort of enthusiasm or exuberance. But because I know that everything that I do, from this conversation to the food that I eat to the workouts that I have, every single thing that I do moves me one breath, one step, one millimeter closer to my goal, to my purpose, to my vision. Once you have something like that and you know what it needs to be, you give everything that you have. And after everything that's happened to me in my life, if I want something and it's truly what I desire, I will single-handedly storm the gates of heaven or hell to make it happen. And that's what you have to think about when you want something in your life.
Man, that's powerful right there. We appreciate that. You know, you've mentioned the book a few times, and I'd like for people to get a chance to check it out. So if you could just kind of summarize the book and let us know where we can pick up a copy before we say goodbye.
Absolutely. My book is called The Gift of Adversity, Overcoming Paralysis of Pain to Find Purpose, and it's available on Amazon. The first couple of chapters is basically my story about what happened. Talked about the process and the mindset and the shift and the rock bottom. And then what I try to do is I actually give the steps. I give the functional ideals. I give you the tactics. I give you the actual concepts that I was able to apply to my life. And the beautiful thing is you can apply it to an entrepreneurship. You can apply it to owning your own business. You can apply it to not owning your own business. You can apply it to being a better husband, a better father, a better son, a better brother, a better person. And the better person that you are to your immediate environment, the bigger that ripple effect is. So just remember that no matter what it is you want in your life, you can get it, but you have to make sure that it's something that you really want and it's not something you're doing for somebody else. And then don't stop until you're there, because the time that we have on this earth is very limited. We don't know how much time we have. So live it with all the vigor that you can muster at every moment in your life, and be grateful for what you have. Tell the people that you love. Tell them you love them all the time. It doesn't hurt. You can't tell somebody you love them too much, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's it, my friend. I've enjoyed the conversation, and I hope that some of the stuff I said resonated with people. The big thing is we're stronger than we give ourselves credit for, and I call adversity a gift, because adversity is a thing that kicks us and spurs us forward when we don't feel like doing it. It doesn't give us the option to quit whenever it's uncomfortable. It never allows us to coast or do just enough to get by. It knows what our true potential is, even when we don't, which is why it kicks us in the ass whenever we give less than 100%. And the reality is that adversity offers you no other choice. And when there's no other choice, the choice is simple. So make the decision, commit. If it doesn't fit in your paradigm, throw it away and give it everything that you've got, and don't look back.
I love it. Marcus, appreciate it so much. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the website so we can get on there and, you know, get coached up or book you to come in and really motivate us as an audience live?
Absolutely, Richard. I appreciate it. You can go to MarcusAureliusAnderson.com. It's all one word. You can find me on Instagram on that handle. You can find me on LinkedIn on that handle. I've got some articles on how to get a TEDx talk on LinkedIn, as a matter of fact. So if that's something that resonates with you guys, you can go there and find out more about that. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. And man, thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored, and I've really enjoyed our conversation, Richard.
Likewise, Marcus, and we will be in touch, sir.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Guys, welcome back to the show, where we discuss with entrepreneurs and people who are really doing amazing things in the world of fashion and business. And today, I'd like to welcome to the show somebody who's doing something very innovative. And I have the pleasure of welcoming David from Perky LLC, and his company is called the Clothing Innovation Company. And in just a minute, you're going to find out why. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate having me.
Yeah, we are glad you could join us. And, you know, I kind of teased it up. It's called the Clothing Innovation Company. And you guys are really changing the game. You're doing something different that nobody else is doing. And I think that's very important, because in men's fashion, things have remained the same for so many years. And you're here to change that.
Well, I appreciate that. The intentions are good. the journey, the climb is tall. And it's exciting to bring a product to market. The product I invented is called the Perky Collar. It's a collar support system for dress shirts. And, you know, people for so long just kind of gotten used to wearing a dress shirt collar when it wasn't wearing with a tie. Just kind of however it lays is how it lays. And if it droops, if it sags, if it tucks under, so be it. You know, you just kind of tug on it, you just try and fix it, you try and do the best you can to look good. And I saw the open collar industry growing. I started this process back in 2014 with the idea that, hey, if you put a little support under the collar and you wear it with the dress shirt, that the collar will look a lot better. And after a two-year-and-a-half-year journey, we brought this product to market, and we're excited to be changing lives and helping people look great even without wearing a tie. So when you bring innovation to market, you're going to have a lot of naysayers. You're going to have a lot of people who don't believe, a lot of people poo-poo your idea, so to speak, or make their judgments, because it's different. It's innovative. It solves a problem, but is it for me? Is it for, why don't you go ahead and try it first? So you have people just kind of waiting for their friends, their neighbors to embrace it. And now that we've sold over 11,500 Perky Collars, it's a great feeling to run to people like, hey, aren't you the Perky Collar guy? I love this thing. And that gets exciting when you finally have broken through and you find some other fanatics across the country.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it's kind of funny, too. In the past on our podcast, we've talked about this problem of the droopy, saggy collar on your shirt. You know, the collar sometimes, without any support, especially if you don't have a button, You know, it kind of lays to the side and your shirt is kind of dangling open. It doesn't look very clean. It's unsightly. Now, how does your product work? Kind of describe it for us since we're listening to you. How does it work and how does it really solve this problem for us?
So the product is, for lack of a better phrase, kind of horseshoe-shaped or U-shaped. And the way you apply it to the shirt, there's no adhesive, there's no ironing involved, you don't have to install it in the shirt. All you have to do is lift your collar up, and you place the turkey collar on the back of the collar with a long tapered end on top. And the reason you do that is to try and maximize the lift. Again, the goal is not to... to prevent your collar from curling. That's what collar stays do. A lot of people have the misconception that, oh, I have collar stays, I'm good. Well, collar stays are important because they get to prevent the collar from curling. What my product does, the function of it, is to lift the collar up. So once I have the perky collar around the back of my collar, I put my collar down on top of it. That's what keeps it in place. The last step is really just to make sure it's even. You kind of take your hand under the front of your collar and just make sure it's not sticking out one side or the other, and that's it. So it's a very simple little tool. It's super lightweight, weighs less than a half an ounce. It's incredibly strong, so it can take a shirt that's a little older, that's been washed and worn a handful of times, that you travel with, that you store in your suitcase. The collar is the first thing that gets smashed when you travel and so on and so forth. So we want to take a shirt that's been through its torture, as all of our shirts have, and resurrect it, for lack of a better word, and make it look like a brand new shirt again. It's really impressive how well it works for being such a simple device.
Yeah, I love that. And if you go on PerkyLLC.com, you can see the before and after and how simple it works. And you know what? It's something that is a problem, but now that there's a solution, everybody should be running to the website to check this out. I'm curious though, how long ago did you come up with this idea and what's the business journey been like?
I had the idea April of 2014, and my aha moment was I was getting ready for work, and I had a dress shirt on. I was getting ready for work, and I went to my closet to get a dress shirt out, over the dry cleaning bag, and put the shirt on, and the placket was folding. So even those of you out there that wear button-down collars, I think your collars don't sag. Maybe the collar doesn't sag, but the placket sure does. And when your placket folds, it makes your whole shirt tuck under. And if you wear blazers at all, the collar tends to tuck under the blazer. And even those with button-down collars have the same issue to pull the placket and the collar tucking under the blazer. So the nice thing about it is that the collar will lift it up and it'll also straighten up a placket for those of you that wear the button-down collars. So to get back to the aha moment, I was trying to find something I could stick in my collar to make my shirt look better. Even though I just came out of the dry cleaning bag, I had medium starch. I hate doing heavy starch because that makes the whole shirt uncomfortable. And I'm in my dress shirt for more hours a day than I have my bed sheet, but yet in our bed sheets we have Egyptian cotton, 10,000 thread count. We want to lay in this perfectly smooth, comfortable sheets, but yet we're willing to put stiff, uncomfortable dress shirts on. It just didn't make sense to me. So I thought there had to be a better way. So ironically, I looked around my bathroom for a solution I could just stick in my collar long enough for the meeting and then take it out, and I couldn't find anything. Kind of felt like it was like a Mama MacGyver moment, for those of you that are familiar with the 80s sitcom. It was on television. So then I wandered into my daughter's bedroom, who was at that time, I think, about 5 years old, and I stumbled on a basket full of headbands. And I kind of started looking through the headbands because they kind of had this U shape. They were very thin. Her head at the time, at 5 years old, was smaller than my neck. But I just started taking some of those headbands and sticking them in my collar and running the bathroom down the hall and see if they look better. And I stumbled on one that was very simple. No extra details of flowers and butterflies and different things that are attached to a lot of girls' headbands. This is a very sleek, very simple, horseshoe-shaped headband. And I stuck in my collar and looked in the mirror. I'm like, hey, you know what? This will work for today. And after the meeting was over, I took it off. It was uncomfortable, but I had the aha moment that I wonder if other people struggle with droopy collars and don't wear ties. So at that point, I met with a company here in Charlotte called Inventus. I sat down with the designers and engineers and art people and the website people and patent people, and they had a non-disclosure agreement signed, NDAs. And I said, here's 10 different, 15 different, I can't remember how many I brought, different headbands. And here's packaging from the shirts, because most dress shirts come with the plastic packaging. Here's all the packaging, here's all the headbands. We need to kind of bring these together. We need to have a hybrid or invention from these two items together. It needs to be this long, it needs to be this tall, and it needs to be the firmness of this headband. And that's kind of where the idea began. And then from there, we just started making different prototypes, some that were adjustable, some that were not, some that were cut out different ways to keep it light. We tried different patterns, different colors. And after about 6 months of trial and tribulation, we decided to go with clear. And that way, if it does poke out teens a bit, it's not really noticeable. And we decided to go with a thicker plastic because we want to make sure that even the most stubborn droopy collars could be resurrected from the perky collar. A thinner option would still work, but it'd be a little more hit and miss when it comes to how effective it's going to be. And I felt it was better to have a little thicker, a little heavier product that was effective 99% of the time than one that was effective 70% of the time. You know, social media, you can't put a product out there that doesn't work most of the time and not get crushed. So that was kind of the first of it. The next challenge was okay packaging. And everything I heard from people was, in the men's clothing world, you better have top-notch packaging or you don't have a prayer. So we spent another 6 months designing the packaging. So my packaging, as you see on the website, is a black box that has a magnetic lid. And I realized I could have a chance to solve a second problem, which was if I take cufflinks with me on a business trip or collar stays or lapels, there's no, you know, nothing out there on the market to store those things. It ends up on my nightstand at the hotel or on the bathroom counter.
Yeah.
So the perky collar box has extra space, as it is U-shaped, for those accessories. Or bracelets. You know, some people carry bracelets as well. So it's become kind of a two-in-one, you know, gift. It's a perky collar, you know, box to store it between uses. It has magnetic lids that doesn't open up my suitcase, my carry-on bag. It also has extra space for other accessories. It really became a great marriage between a great invention and a great needed place to store our accessories when we travel.
That makes total sense.
Let's get in stores. Hey, let's get on the website. Let's get some these products in people's hands. That was the next step.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was going to ask about travel, but you answered that question for me. So thanks for doing that. But also, you know what? Let's transition because you said stores. And one of the things that I love about it is that you guys really got out there and pretty much saturated the market from my standpoint. I mean, there's a lot of stores you can go in and get the perky collar. And as a business owner, that's very exciting. And I know a lot of people listening are entrepreneurs. So tell us how you got your product into retailers.
Sure. It's a lot of hard work. You got to be willing to do things you probably aren't comfortable doing or don't like doing. Some examples, and I actually do lectures on this all the time. You have to be willing to go to trade shows. And the phrase I always use when I explain to what it's like to be at a trade show when you're the new guy on the block is you're a nobody until you become a somebody. Meaning that none of the retailers are there to see you. They're there to see all the big players, all the big brands. You have to stop them on their way to someone else to get 15 seconds to make an impression, to earn 15 more seconds of time, and maybe even a purchase. So my first trade show, believe it or not, was Las Vegas, the market. And that's a big trade show, and it was a very expensive participate, over $7,000 for a booth, a little 10x10 booth. So it was a big investment on my part. You're there for 3-4 days. You got the hotel, you got the airfare, you got the food. I mean, you're going to drop $1,000, no problem. And I'm selling a $25 item. You know, so you got to sell a ton of product, even break even. And of course, my wife always confronts me after the trade show, how'd it go? I'm like, well, I didn't make as much money as I spent. I'm like, oh, great. You know, so you have to understand that a lot of the trade shows are about the relationship build, and you try and sell as much as you can. And try and keep your quality minimums as low as you can just to get it in people's hands as much as you can. When I went to the Magic Trade Show in Vegas, I was in 60 retailers. After the show, I was in 100 retailers. So that was a big push for me in 2015 to break that 100 retailer mark. And then from there, you know, going to New York Market, going to Chicago Collective, going to Atlanta Cobb Show, I joined the Northwest Buyers Group in Minneapolis, where they have approved manufacturers. They have shows twice a year. I was able to help me hit a lot of the North and Northwest stores. You just got to get out there. And again, remember the phrase, you're nobody to become a somebody. It's not everybody that walks by. The worst they can tell you is, no, I'm not interested. But if you don't pitch them, they're not going to stop typically and talk to you. Because no one really knows what it is. They don't know the problem at all. No matter how great your booth is, they're just not looking for you. You got to stop them on their way. It's like being in a kiosk in a mall. No one stops to look at a kiosk in a mall with any interest or intrigue about what they have. It's if they stop you and you listen or you avoid them, don't make eye contact. I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to that.
Right.
There's the guy selling Dead Sea Scrub and all kinds of other gadgets and gizmos. The other thing is get out there and walk in the stores. Don't be afraid of rejection. Show them your product, give them price points, create a sell sheet with features, benefits. Wholesale pricing is not the best, but it's going to help you build your brand. It's going to help your product get seen by more people. And it's going to help, the business grow. So it's a necessary evil. Obviously, your ideal market is right through your website. But it's hard nowadays to drive people to your website when Amazon takes up so much of the market share.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Amazon is really cutting into a lot of people online. So you got to get out there and beat the pavement. It sounds like you're an expert at doing that. And in addition to that, you have more than just a perky collar. I'd love for you to quickly, and briefly go ahead, just explain some of the other products you have, because you guys really are an innovation company.
Sure. Well, I realized that after the money I spent on bringing the product to market and the time it took me to bring a product to market, I couldn't afford or have the time to bring 5 more products to market like I wanted to. So I started reaching out through social media to find other inventors that have products related to clothing. So the other products I brought on board under the Perky umbrella is the best pocket square holder, which prevents pocket squares from unfolding and falling down your pocket, which is also a very popular, very common problem. I also found that a lot of the lapels that were out there were long stem lapels that I wore myself, and I found it was tearing up the fabric of my jacket. And a lot of my jackets were expensive, and I was frustrated that I couldn't massage the fabric and make the hole go away. So we created a bow tie lapel button, which is very unique, and which it actually goes in the lapel hole of your jacket. So you're not poking holes in your fabric anymore. You're simply using the lapel hole that's already there. I also partner with a holeless belt company. We use 100% cowhide, which is a top tier of leather. It's pivot buckle technology, unlike the Click-It belt or the Mission belt that has a ratchet system inside the belt. We use pivot buckle technology. The difference is that the Mission belt and the Click-It belt, they're using lower quality leather because in order to get that track in there, the quality leather has to be softer and therefore lower quality. Or the cowhide is a much nicer quality leather, and simply by pivoting the buckle up, it unlocks the buckle and allows you to adjust your belt. The problem is solved, similar to the Mission belt, is it allows you to adjust your belt by 1/16th of an inch, not just an entire inch. And as our weight shifts throughout the year, it's nice to be able to adjust our belt to fit our actual weight. Having to poke holes or having to stretch out the holes and have the belts crack and things like that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. No, go ahead.
The last item we have is called a button-up collar stay. And this is a gentleman out of Wichita, Kansas. And his product is a collar stay. He has both plastic as well as stainless steel. And the beauty of these is that for the older clientele, people just have difficulties with dexterity or arthritis or carpal tunnel, they have difficulty fastening buttons on their sleeve or sometimes even fastening a button on the top of your dress shirt. It has a hook on the end. You simply slide the hook end onto the button, and then you poke the pointed end through the buttonhole and you spin it. And it actually fastens the button for you. This is kind of a cool little tool. And then when you're finished, if you're younger, you just pop it in and use it as a collar stay. If you're a little older, you use it to help you fasten the button, then use it as a collar stay. Those are all the innovative things on the website. I do want to add one other thing with our last topic, which is what do you do to get in stores? It's trade shows, it's walking in. But the other one that's really tough, you got to make phone calls. And I think everyone hates those cold calls, but you got to do it. You got to introduce yourself, you got to send samples to people, and you can't be afraid of rejection. Follow up your phone call, send out emails, have videos done demonstrating the product, and send out to the retailers. And then you can reach a global audience over the telephone.
Yeah, you have to be a go-getter, don't you?
You do. It's a lot of fun. I'll never forget, before I went to my first trade show in Minneapolis, I got a list of, I think it was 350 stores. And my goal was to reach out to them, connect with them, be personable, educate about the product, and sell as much of my product before the show. And then those that were hard to get a hold of or that didn't give me the time as much on the phone, I could then see face-to-face at the trade show. So it was effective because I was able to get into 40 of the 350 stores before the show even happened. Then I was able to pick up another 25 stores at the show. So I was able to penetrate 65 new stores just from that phone call and then in-person trade show. But let me tell you one more point that's important to understand. This is where you turn the radio up a little bit. Again, you can't focus strictly on what you sell at a trade show. The relationship I created at Magic in Las Vegas is what got me into Northwest Buyers. It got me a trip to Minneapolis to speak in front of their board. I did a 5-minute presentation. They brought me on board as a manufacturer. I was an approved manufacturer. And that gave me access to 350 more stores. So if I wasn't at Magic, I would never have gotten the store, Garber's Menswear in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, who's on the board for Northwest Buyers. So it's all about connection, meeting people, selling, yes, if you want to return your investment. But it's also making connections, talking to other vendors at the events as well, building connections. I have one vendor, for example, that sells ties. He called me for 6 months after we met in Vegas to say, hey, here's one of my clients in Virginia. Give him a call. I was wearing your perky collar. Do you want some? And I didn't pay him any commission. He's just a nice guy that wants to see me be successful. So again, being at Magic, it wasn't just about what I sold that week. It's about the connections I built at the show and the result you keep adding over time. And those residual, those reorders, month after month after month, then you have a true return on your time at a trade show.
I like that. You have to be patient and you have to be persistent. Totally love it. Now, before you go, please let us know how we can check out the products, your website, also your social media, so we can keep in touch with you.
Sure. So as you mentioned earlier, the website is perkyllc.com. Well, if that's too hard to remember, you can also go to perkycollar.com. That was what we had first, and we mirror those two websites to reach the same place. Social media, it's mainly Perky LLC on all social media handles, from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram to Pinterest to Tumblr to LinkedIn to Google Plus. It's all Perky LLC. I do a Perky Collar also on Facebook, and I believe Instagram may also be Perky Collar as well, but it's primarily Perky LLC across all social media, with the exception of Facebook that has the Perky Collar page as well.
All right, David, we appreciate it so much. Everybody, check out the amazing, innovative products that he has. And thank you for being a part of the show. We look forward to seeing what you come up with in the future.
Excellent. If I can add one quick thing, also check out, we have some fashion things too. We have handmade bow ties. We have scarves with added for the ladies. So if you're going to buy some for yourself, it's always nice to pick up some for your lady. These are scarves that are made on based on my daughter's paintings. So we turned into 60 by 20 and 50 by 50 scarves.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful. We also have pocket squares out of our artwork as well. We also have handmade and double-sided pocket squares as well as pocket rounds. And ours are unique in which they're double-sided is one thing. But number two is the serging, the stitch work on the outside is two different colors. And when you fold them, they're absolutely beautiful works of art. So check those out too, because they're unique, they're different. You go to a store that's everything's mass-produced from China, and you're still going to pay $45 for a mass-produced China fabric. But these are all handmade, all one of a kind. We don't duplicate any of our pocket squares or pocket rounds.
Oh, beautiful. I like that you incorporated your daughter's art with it as well. That's always nice to include the family.
Exactly right. And my wife got involved because she does the sewing, all the pocket squares and pocket rounds. It really has become a family effort.
Oh, that's beautiful, David. Everybody, definitely check it out. I'm on their website right now as we speak, and I think I'll be here for quite some time. So, David, thank you once again for joining us. And
thank you for having me.
Yes, we will talk to you again very soon in the future. Well, gentlemen, that is going to do it for this edition of the podcast. So glad you could join us. Before you go, please do us a favor if you could. Could you rate, review, and even subscribe to the podcast? That way you won't miss an episode. It'll go right to your phone or your mobile device, whatever you use to listen to us. You'll have it every week, every Monday at 3 p.m. And let me say special thank you to Dennis for dropping by with the style tip of the week. Definitely enjoyed that discussion. It's always good when gentlemen can get together and talk about different ways we can enhance our style and increase the value of our lives, really. Because you know what? Style really does open doors for you. And we certainly appreciate Dennis's input every week. Also, special thank you to David from Perky Collar. You guys definitely check out Perky Collar LLC. And he also has a wide array of other products that I think you'll really enjoy as well. So jump on their website and you'll no longer have to worry about your collar drooping down anymore. David's got you covered. Last but not least, thank you, Marcus Aurelius, for coming on and inspiring us with that story of triumph. It is amazing what you can do when you change your mindset, and Marcus is really, really, really proof of that. So we thank him as well. We enjoyed all of the discussion this week. We invite you to come back again next week because we'll be talking to somebody that is releasing a new product once again, and this is a sevenfold silk tie. So if you don't know what a sevenfold silk tie is, do your research. Join us back here next week. These guys are coming to us all the way from Belgium, so get ready. Life of a Gentleman podcast is going worldwide. Guys, until next time, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties, lapel pins, and much more. Join the monthly subscription club where you will receive one necktie and four accessories for $25. To learn more, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com.